Salah runs up, scores! Was there any doubt? No, Salah is Liverpool's record Premier League penalty taker. Did you doubt him? He might have missed in pre-season, but he doesn't miss when it counts. What a penalty kick! Michael Oliver blows the whistle! The Egyptian king delivers! Yet again, you can never write off Mohamed Salah because our number 11 delivers every time. It's no coincidence. For a long period of this game, up to 90 plus minutes, Burnley frustrated Liverpool. Chiesa came off the bench, missed a sitter. We tried, we huffed, we puffed, we couldn't break down a brilliantly organised Burnley defence. But then a moment of absolute madness by former Manchester United Academy product Hannibal, who came off the bench, stuck out a hand to deflect as Jeremy Frimpong cross. He knew what he'd done. He's inconsolable as he leaves the field. These things happen, but Mo Salah in stoppage time. He might have missed his last two pens, but we didn't doubt him, did we? No, we didn't. Salah wins it for Liverpool. Burnley 0, Liverpool 1.
Another late win for the Reds. Steve Hunter there, summing up a nervy afternoon as Mohamed Salah's 95th minute penalty saw Liverpool claim another dramatic victory in the Premier League as Burnley were beaten 1-0 at Turf Moor. We'll be getting the thoughts of Arne Slot and the captain, Virgil van Dijk, shortly here on The Reaction. I'm Mark Benstead and I was joined in the studio by Ronnie Whelan and Phil Babb. Plus we got fan contributions from Josh Williams and Kim Althoff. Rob Jones and David Thompson were down pitch side at the ground for us, and that is where we will head first.
Well, what a finish here at Turf Moor. The home fans are making their way out pretty disappointed given how close they got to a point. The Liverpool supporters much more enthusiastic, as is David Thompson. You are getting used to last minute goals in away games this season.
I'd rather not, to be honest.
Not have the stress.
Yeah, it was looking like it was going to be a frustrating afternoon for Liverpool. They kept going, they kept probing, they stayed consistent, and they hung on in there, and they managed to nick 3 points at the end. So, you know, a lot to work on, a hell of a lot to work on going forward in September, but some positives as well.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because there is a lot to work on, you said, about the Liverpool performance. It also feels a day where you do give Burnley a bit of credit for the way that they set themselves up, because they were incredibly difficult to try and find a way through.
Yeah, they were. They were absolutely solid. They were compact, disciplined and rigid. Everything we knew that they were going to be. I mean, I've just said to you before, for one phase in that game, they had 11 men inside the box and it wasn't a set piece. So they were... You know, they were really hard and compact, and it is frustrating. It's really frustrating, and you'd expect us, with all the creativity we have on the pitch, to have more chances. And I think we had 4 shots on target the whole game. I mean, I can only remember Robbo's and Szoboszlai's, really. So yeah, you know, credit to them. They deserved the points, but you know, we kept going, kept knocking on the door, and this is what happens when you play against teams that dominate possession. You grind them down, you start getting them a little bit tired, and they make them mistakes, and that's what happened there. The Hannibal's made the jump, he's got his arms in the air, and it's a penalty.
Whilst the goal didn't come to right at the end, then it was a penalty. It certainly felt a lot better in the second half, because first half it just seemed too slow, and Liverpool weren't getting anywhere, really.
Absolutely, it was too slow, and when we talk about, you know, there's plenty to work on there, I felt a bit sorry for Wirtz in the first half. He was getting himself in, you know, he was getting in them little pockets, finding that little bit of space, and it's not easy to find that space when they play so deep and so compact. So you expect our players to fire that ball in, you know, just lend them the ball, have confidence in him. So I suppose it's just our lads getting used to the new players coming in. I thought Ekitike struggled a little bit today. You know, they marshalled him really well. They closed the space and sort of pushed him out to wide areas, really. And he was ineffective in them wide areas. So, you know, he's got to find out how to get in that game and stay physical. As Wirtz has got to be a little bit more more careful with the ball in the final third. I think, you know, sometimes when you're playing them little 1-2s and the little flicks and tricks don't come off, you know, teams will counter at this level. So you've got to be a bit more careful and more protective of the ball. So there's plenty to work on going forward.
Just on the point, actually, about the forward players, and we spoke about him before the match, that is one of those things that Alexander Isak will give Liverpool eventually, is that he can turn on a sixpence in the penalty area and find a shot that isn't almost there sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. He can produce something out of nothing, and obviously we'll be desperate now to get him as fit as possible and get him on the pitch. We've lost a little bit of creativity in the likes of Harvey Elliott. That was his typical type of game. Chiesa come on, he had that chance, he was unlucky. But I thought young Rio came on, I thought he was direct and he created a few things, you know, he was live.
And Frimpong as well.
Yeah, Frimpong did, yeah, he had that chance and obviously the cross. So, yeah, there's positives going forward. It's not easy, you know, Liverpool are trying to implement a new system here. They're trying to play with that number 10, but we need to get up to speed soon because, you know, we've spent a lot of money on trying to be a bit more creative, and actually it's having the reverse effect at the moment.
It's a funny thing, isn't it, because I spoke almost quite negatively about a game that Liverpool have actually won. Mm-hmm. The one thing you would praise is character and resilience, in the sense that is four games this season, four times they've scored the winning goal in the last 10 minutes. Now, you could make the argument that for a couple of them, they should never have been in that position where they needed to find a late winner, but they have still done it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this September, you know, it's not really got going as normal seasons do. It's been a little bit stop-start. We've had, the international break, which doesn't help. But you're absolutely right there. And I think the best teams obviously always show resilience. But what they've done is they've ground out a result here in what typically is a really difficult place to come. We knew it was going to be tough, and it was. So, you know, fair play to the lads. They've ground out a result, but that's what the best teams do. The Man Uniteds and Liverpools of the past have always done that. They grind out teams, they make them tired, and that's where they make the mistakes and you punish them.
Well, that was what I was going to say, actually. Still the only team with a 100% record, four wins from four, and who knows, come April or May, this is the sort of game that we might be talking about that's given Liverpool the edge over an Arsenal or a Man City, whoever else might be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, sometimes you do need that little bit of luck. And today Liverpool, you know, they got it. And if you're prepared to put balls into the box and put crosses into the box, this sort of thing happens. You sort of create your own luck. And, you know, today it worked for us.
David, thank you very much indeed. Hopefully the next one you come to is a little bit more stress-free. But a small matter of two huge home games to come for Liverpool next week. Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, and then the Merseyside derby next weekend as well.
Welcome to the studio, where I'm joined by Phil Babb and Ronnie Whelan for the next hour or so. We'll also get input from our fan panel as well, which this week consists of Josh Williams and Kim Althoff as well, who's from our Netherlands Official Supporters Association. We'll get the thoughts of the guys through the course of the show, as I mentioned. We'll start off, though, with a reaction from the boys in the studio after I've shown you the top of the Premier League table, because it looks pretty good this Sunday evening. The Reds have four wins out of four, the only side with a 100% record at this stage of the campaign. They are three clear of the chasing pack. Next up, in the league at least, the small matter of the Merseyside derby next Saturday lunchtime. Well, Phil, it wasn't necessarily the prettiest, but not for the first time this season, another late moment of drama seals a win for Liverpool. You can't argue with the results that are coming, at least at the moment.
You can't. A little bit of fortune, of course. Huge mistake by Hannibal. But we were growing into that latter stages of the game. That I thought the last 15 minutes we found a bit of pace and a bit of impetus to really go at them, which was lacking for 75 minutes before that. And that's not the first time this season. So leaving it late, it's not good for the for the old ticker, is it? But and again, Mo gets his goal, doesn't he? If I was I'd strongly urge him to go and buy a lottery ticket tonight. But he doesn't need it, does he?
I think a couple of games in, I said I couldn't do 36 more games this with a drama. Well, here we go. It's starting to happen again and again. I suppose it's kind of great entertainment in some ways, this late revelations we're having. But it'd be nice if we could take control of match a little bit sooner and ease our way to victory at times.
You know what, Mark? I don't think there's any way they can keep this up and keep getting win after win after win. It's happened. and it's great that it's happened, but if you keep putting out performance like that after performance like that, you're going to come unstuck, and you're going to come unstuck badly, because it's not good football. They're not playing great football. The thing is, they deserve to win today. They against Burnley, they were all over them. Also a little bit lucky that Burnley just kept kicking the ball back to us. They couldn't get out, but we kept going at them, we got a bit of luck in the end. But it's not Liverpool. God knows how good we'll be when we are okay. I never expected everybody to fit in, Ekitike and Wirtz, and fit in straight away, and everything will be really, really good. And it's worked out that way, because it hasn't been good. And I think the manager's still chopping and changing to try and find what's the best position for each player. Ekitike, will he be up front? Will he go on the left? Isak comes in, and we believe he'll go straight up front. So you're looking at the manager, what's he going to do then? But it's another 3 points, and we're very, very thankful for it, but we can't keep doing it.
We'll maybe dig into why it's maybe not clicking completely as we get through the show, but I suppose we should focus on the fact we did get over the line. And if you're going to be positive about things, sometimes you earn your luck. The manager, as he often is, was positive in his change. He keeps looking for solutions to the problem. He chopped and changed things. He went to his bench, and he keeps asking questions of the opposition, and one of them paid off. Oh, it's a mistake by the Burnley player ultimately, but if you don't ask those questions, he doesn't make the mistake.
Again, and from a Frimpong cross, and Frimpong had a chance at the end there. Rio came on and had a couple of chances. We saw how quick his feet were in the box and flashed a few across the box. Using five subs very, very positively. But I agree with Ronnie. You just can't keep relying on that stroke of luck or a late winner here or there, a bit of magic from Zobo, Rio at Newcastle, again today at Burnley. It's just, we're better than that. That's the main takeaway. We're better than that. We shouldn't be relying on these last gasp sort of winners. 81% possession is a huge amount, and we should have won this game more convincingly.
But wouldn't it be nice, sorry Mike, wouldn't it be lovely if the manager didn't have to make all these big decisions, like get Kanate off, put the wingers on, get pace up front, with 5 minutes to go? It's Liverpool. It should be done, finished, dusted. Going to Burnley today, I felt, start off quick, go around, pass quick, you get past, you'll score, and it's an easy day for everybody. But the passing was methodical, it was slow, it was coming back, it was going back across the pitch. You know, there was nothing incisive. There you go, bang. You know, Stevie G passed,
like
banging in.
Ronnie Moran after international.
The international factor, is that a factor? So many players, you're just starting to get into a feel of a season, then you're taken away with your countries here, there and everywhere, you play a different way with different teammates, and you're expected to come back in and hit the ground running. Is that part of the problem today?
I can't really go that way, because of the three games beforehand were not international weekends. This one has, and they did look a little lethargic, didn't they, really? Some of the passing, and we know they're so much better. They do ping passes in, but the manager will be so delighted that they've got another 3 points, Mo, another goal, so all things are rosy, but can't keep going on.
Yeah, on the subject of Mo, he's now our top scorer from the penalty spot in the league now with that effort today. And we were sort of discussing watching the game, Phil, given the fact he'd missed a couple of penalties at his last attempt, what would happen here? Would he take it? We assumed he would. If so, how would he go about it? And for all you point the finger for the last couple he's taken, that was a very well struck spot kick.
Under pressure, you know, it would have been a huge scalp just to get a draw for Burnley against us. But props to him for putting the ball down and dispatching it the way he did. Because he would have been in the back of his mind about his last two, surely. But that's Mo, and he is a superstar. And that's his job, isn't it? Putting the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, he's there for the big moments. He tends to deliver in situations like that. But an incredible decision from Hannibal, Ronnie, in the build-up to the penalty. One of those ones, you very rarely get it where the player has no objection, but as soon as he did it, he put the hand up, he knew he was guilty, he knew he was done. His face told the story, his teammates didn't argue, his manager didn't argue. It was incredible.
I was doing comms with Brothers, and the two of us went straight away penalty when the cross came in, and you just see, and like you say, his hand goes to his face and he goes, what have I done? Especially probably thinking about Mo Salah's going to step up and take this, and then we're going to lose 1-0, it's all my fault. He did have a couple of bad tackles when he came on, by the way. He took out the Bosley Hannibal and he took out someone else just after that. I think it was Gravenberg. But people have said it many times, footballers are stupid.
They might have said it to you, mate.
But what a stupid thing to do, the last seconds of a game when you've done so much to to get something out of the game, and he goes and sticks his hand out.
And I think in the modern game where defenders are told, I mean, he's a midfielder, but you defend with your hands behind your back, because any unnatural position, you're at risk. So naturally, you would have kept him down, but he's gone straight away. Turn the back's one thing, but then lifting the arm as well.
I'm not getting involved in the debate on the intelligence of footballers, past or present. What was it? It's actually a tricky one for Scott Park, because in how he can't really throw his player under the bus, but ultimately the reason they've lost that game after putting in 95 minutes of amazing effort is because of him. It's a tricky one as a manager to get your way through that.
He'll wake up screaming his name tonight. What have you done? We can laugh about it, it's great, because we've won the game.
They'll be calling him Hannibal Lecter now, well, won't they?
Yeah, I saw someone say he's going to get a Hannibal Lecture off his manager, which isn't bad. But yeah, an incredible decision. Let's bring our fan panel in here and get some reaction from the guys watching further afield to what we've seen today. I'm sure a sense of relief for both the guys. Josh, I'll start with you. Just watching it, I guess it's one where you're looking at it and saying, hey, we'll take that. We'll take it and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm shattered. I'm like 4 or 5 games into the season. I think we've had the fortune and the luck of an entire campaign inside the start. You know, I think we're 4 games in or something like that. So, I mean, I'd take it, but I agree with everything that's been said. I'd like to see more sustainable performances. I had a little bit of sympathy with what I've just seen, simply because I think in the first 1 or 2 games, and it was the same against Palace as well, in a Community Shield, Liverpool were, you know, gung-ho in an attacking sense, but leaving the back door open a little bit. And I think in this game, maybe tipped the scales too far the other way, where Liverpool are almost a little bit reluctant to take a risk, just thinking that, like, if we lose the ball, we need to be in the right place here. So I think Liverpool are still trying to strike that balance where they're really free-flowing in attack, creating tons of chances and keeping the door closed, because, you know, Burnley only created 3 shots in that game. That's virtually nothing. You know, Alisson didn't really have to make a save, but it was similar for Dubravka at the opposite end. So I think Liverpool are definitely working towards something, but still not quite there. But I suppose it's a positive that we're winning in the process.
It's a good point, maybe, Phil. Yeah. We are looking for that balance in performances, and also maybe a bit of the rhythm. We found a rhythm under Arna last year, a lot in games, control game, dictated the pace, Ryan Gravenberch dictated a lot of it with Alexis McAllister. We haven't had that so far. Maybe they're just trying to find a way of operating together.
I think so. And, well, 2 clean sheets are great, the last 2 games. That's important. It's an interesting one. You're not fit and firing in all cylinders in the first 4 games of the season. You build it, that momentum, don't you? I think if you look at City over and before that, Manchester United, around Christmas time, they were really firing in all cylinders. And then by January, you just look, they go on these long, streaky runs. We've already started a run, which is great. But it's clear to see from any supporter that we aren't clicking, and whether that is personnel, the new personnel trying to adjust to the system. I saw at times today, certainly Verts in positions where McAllister, when he was on the pitch, they were literally occupying the same space, and that for me is a problem.
But that takes time.
It does,
the one
absolutely
thing that the manager doesn't have, he's not got any free midweeks to work on that kind of stuff on the training. It's going to have to happen in game almost.
Yeah, there was one stage in the game as well later on. Ekitike was in the same position, so he had 3 of them all together. That has to be sorted out, whether McAllister goes straight in alongside Gravenberch and then let Vert have all the room he can get, and Ekitike maybe dropping in.
How much is that on the players themselves? You know, if you were a player running that situation, would you have a conversation, look, that's where I go, or you need to let me know, we need to communicate, or is it up to the coaching staff to say, no, Ronnie goes there, get out of his way?
Well, I don't think the coaching staff will want 2 players in the same position when we're trying to break down defences. And if it was me and I was there, I'd have to tell them where to go. Get out of here. I'm here, and then you can go pick up spaces somewhere else and you can go find the ball. But like I said, it's got to be done on the training pitch with the manager. They don't have that much time. But somehow, somewhere, they've got to do it, and they've got to get it right quickly.
Liverpool, the first team to win 4 Premier League games in a row with goals scored in the final 10 minutes or later. That underlines the point that Josh was making. Kim, I guess you'd concur. Yeah, it's great to win. It's great to have 12 points on the board, but it'd be nice to get into a more sedate way of getting these victories, and we can all have a far more relaxing Saturday or Sunday afternoon.
And that would be quite nice, yeah. I had to dye my hair yesterday because I'd gone all grey after three games, and I don't want to keep doing that. But yeah. A 9-0 might be too much to ask, but yeah, it would be nice if teams like Burnley, we should easily beat them. Like said in the studio as well, if we would be on fire from the first second, I think we could have scored one or two easily in the first 20 minutes, but we didn't get it. I don't know, we started slow and that gave them a chance to stay at 0-0 for a long time in the game.
I suppose, Kim, if you're looking for more positives to take on from the fact that the film mentioned another clean sheet, something that we hadn't done regularly of late, that's good. But also the message that another late win sends out to the rest of the Premier League. Like, teams must now go into games against Liverpool thinking, we can't switch off at all for the whole 100 minutes, because they will keep going back to the well and they will find a way.
Yeah, we will find a way. We will keep going. And that's a good mindset to have, because all of the players on the pitch and on the bench have that same mindset, like, we won't give up. We'll keep going until we get that winning goal, no matter what it takes.
Kim, it was Mo's penalty that was key. I just wonder if you had any reservations about him carrying on with the spot, because there's been a little bit of debate about whether he should be the penalty taker after the last couple. Were you convinced when he stepped up?
Yeah, I was pretty scared actually after the last two, but he convincingly took that one, and I'm so happy for him as well, because he can get that out of his head as well, because he hasn't been the best of our players the last few games, and I hope something like this helps him to get his confidence back.
Josh, I'll go back to you on that point as well. It was a little bit of a discussion topic, given his last couple of penalties were, well, one of them somewhere above Wembley, I think, at the moment. But it had been a bit of a problem. But you can't argue with his conviction when he steps up. When the pressure is on, in a moment like that, where the result is on the line, he finds a way to deliver.
Yeah, I think it's difficult with a player like Mo to even have the conversation where you're toying with taking the penalties off him, because he's such a superstar. You know, he's probably got that ego about him as well. He wants to step up, he wants a spotlight. So I've got no major problem with Mo continuing taking the penalties and like that. I think just going into the actual moment though, during the game, I think my bigger concern was I don't think he played particularly well. Mm. So, you know, you just feel like in a game like that, when it hasn't really gone for you, there's always the chance that you'll just maybe sky it again, basically. And I think Dubravka as well has got a decent record saving penalties. But, you know, Mo Salah, the player that he is, sees the moment, another win somehow, and you know, we'll take it.
Yeah, and he edges his way up those Premier League scoring charts. I'm sure he's gone up another spot off the back of that. I can't remember exactly, but I'm sure he has, or if not, he's closing in another place on the ladder. We should probably throw up the match stats for the game, and just to underline how dominant Liverpool were, and how it kind of underlined the approach that the Burnley had taken today. They were quite happy to sacrifice the ball, you know, 19% yeah. possession. They did not want it. They were quite happy to sit in, soak up the pressure and try and counter. As the game wore on, the threat from them in the break did diminish though, didn't it, as Liverpool took more of a grip of things?
Well, as Liverpool played the way they should have done from the first minute. But you see that the XG is quite interesting, you know, almost 2.5 goals expected in this game from Liverpool. It's like, and we were nowhere near that. You know, if you think about that, it says the big chances that we had the Ibu header, couldn't get under it. We had Gravenberch volley. I think he should have done better. It was only 8 yards out. And then we had the long-range effort from Szoboszlai, which the keeper comfortably...
Ekitike went across.
Well,
kind of, if someone can.
Yeah. But, I mean, the I'd call that a half chance, but I'm being picky there. But it's that dominance, and we still just scraped by against Burnley. That's worrying. Josh mentioned about Mo's performance there. It wasn't his best game by a long stretch of the imagination. But... he still delivered, and as Ronnie said, I think you just have to be grateful that we were professional in our defensive duty, and we carried on and we kept pushing and pushing, and then we were lucky to come away with those 3 points.
All those stats say is how dominant Liverpool were in that game. What we looked at was how Liverpool played. We know they were dominant, but we know they're a better team. The passing wasn't great all the time. 27 shots, 4 on target. Come on, we're better than that. And we were in better spaces to get shots on target. But we'll keep coming back to the same thing, won't we? That we've done the job again. Everybody's delighted, but it will catch up on us if we don't lift the performances now. If players don't get better on the pitch, and Mo wasn't great today, but to have the confidence to go and step up and take that penalty, brilliant. That's what he is. He's confident in his own ability to do things in games when we feel he should be taken off, but he goes on to score. Mm. So fair play to Mo for stepping up and doing it.
Within those stats, 44 crosses is a lot of crosses.
The reason being, because they had 9 people, yeah, and they were happy enough for you, yeah, to cross it.
But were we right in taking that as the option as many times, given it kind of played into the hands a little bit? They had so many bodies back, they're waiting to head the ball clear. Could we have done maybe different things those times?
It was just trying to get your full-backs more going on the outside. And I was seeing full-backs coming more on the inside, like Kerkez before he went off. Gakpo would be wide left. Kerkez had run into the middle alongside him, and then there's nothing really on after that, because he's filled up spaces everywhere, and then the likes of your Vert and McAllister can't get in there then because the full-back's gone in. And Bradley, when he did it on the other side, when he come on, it seemed to block up spaces, yeah, today. It might not have done other days. Bradley stay wide, then give it down to Salah, and then it'll change week in, week out.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's two sides to every coin, isn't it? You might have had 44 crosses. Well, the quality of the crosses, the attempted crosses, blocked, whatever, overshot. But who are you aiming for when you cross the ball into the box? Are you putting in the air? If you take Ekitike out, you've got no real aerial threat. That will change when Isak comes in. Again, if we were putting those crosses in, I mean, we may have had a Darwin in there. He might have got his head into it. But crosses into the box, aerial ones, played into Burnley's hands. Then when we weren't going out wide, I thought we were going too central too often. We were trying to be too intricate. Yeah, Verts had some nice touches around the edge of the box, Zobo, but it was too much like a five-a-side at times at the edge of the box, trying to unpick this lock, being too cute. But you had a very resolute Burnley defence there that you weren't going to do it with.
It's hard to move players around who've got no desire to be moved out. Yeah. It's all very well if teams are trying to attack and break. If they're not bothered about that, it becomes a really tricky exercise to kind of entice them, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like this. You'd love to have Arne Slot sitting here. Go on, tell us. No, but go tell us what was it, because we don't know what way you were meant to play today. Were they meant to Kerkez go into the middle and then it goes out to Gakpo or vice versa? But it'd be nice to hear that, you know, I was coaching this way all week and this way all week. We thought we'd walk today. It didn't work. We'd cross us probably too many. But it'd just be a little bit more interesting.
I suppose to the point, he hasn't actually had a lot of time on the training ground this week with the players because of that international.
But it's the same nearly every week. That's what they come up against nearly every week.
That's true.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Alexis McAllister.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Reds, the new Adidas Liverpool FC 25-26 season home and away kits are out now.
You can also shop the new Adidas LFC training range.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app.
You'll never walk alone.
I'm going to ask you about the Milos Kerkez substitution going off in the first half and what your thoughts on that were as a bit of management. It's one of these things, we rarely see it in football. It's always an assumption that you get 45 minutes as a player to show what you can do or prove your worth in a game. But very decisive management by Arne Slot on the basis that there's no injury issue, which didn't appear to be.
Yeah, well, it didn't appear to be an injury, but the manager was right, even if it's because of tactical, because he thought he was going to get booked again. But for doing the silly thing about diving, we all know that now. You don't dive anymore. You're going to get a card straight away. Now he puts himself under pressure. And then the manager has to think, he's put me under pressure. 10 minutes gone, he's booked. They're going to start going at him. And then if he makes one mistake. So for me, the manager was right to do it in case he did get a red card. And I think it was a very, very good decision.
Yeah, sometimes, I say, players don't necessarily like it. It's not the done thing to do. But actually, if you're being sort of pragmatic about it, why not substitute a player after 10 minutes? If it's not working, you've got a different option on the bench. You can clearly see the way your opponents are set up. A different option might work better. Why not do it?
Well, Ronnie's hit the nail on the head. It's obviously protection. You don't want to go down to 10 men at Burnley, do you? Because you still want to be on the front foot and attack-minded. If you go down to 10, you'll be more defensively. the manager is not afraid to make those decisions. He's done it with Jarrell Kwanzaa last season for the opening game of the season. Took him off at half time. It wasn't working. If you're a brave and strong manager and you have strength of your convictions, then why not take the player off? My concern is Kirkez's state of mind, because I don't think he is hit the ground running, and you don't expect him to. He's got to find his way in. I think the pressure of also having Andy Robertson behind him, who has been a stalwart for many years, been a great player for the club, and he's probably thinking, why am I not playing? You know, I've still got it in me. He scored midweek for Scotland. You know, he offered something different, almost scored today, instantly coming on, creating a chance. So I think Kirkez has a bit of reflection to do. He's not the finished article either. He has to, I think he has to up his game and know the level of performance and attitude that is expected from a Liverpool player.
Mm. For me, he's a kid who's full of energy.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's come to Liverpool from Bournemouth. He's left his home in Hungary so many years ago. And he wants to show people that he can play for Liverpool. And but unfortunately, at this moment in time, he's going about it the wrong way. He's just over. He's hyped up every time he goes on the pitch. Probably more so, that's the manager again thinking today. He gets hyped up all the time. Mm. So we're going to have to take him off and calm him down a bit. It just needs a chat with the manager, doesn't he?
And it's all about that communication, isn't it, and relationships and how you deal. And you saw when he came off the pitch, Arna spoke to him. It wasn't a case of you just left him to come off. There was a chat to explain the thinking, and that's all part of it, to make a player understand why you're making a decision.
Well, I hope he said you were the one who got the yellow card, not me, by the way.
Yeah, which is probably part of the thinking. Let's go back to our fan panel. I'll bring Josh in. What I wanted to say, Josh, was one of the things we did get today in all the changes that the manager made late on and through the course of the game, we got more minutes to some of the players. Jeremy Frimpong involved now after his injury issue. Connor Bradley back. So that bodes well for the future, doesn't it? Having these guys getting more up to speed and more options for the managers, we get into this rotation now of playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, well, I think we've missed a little bit of depth in the first few games. You know, there's been points where Ekazike's left the field, maybe around the hour mark, and once he's left, the threat has just kind of deteriorated a little bit, and we haven't been able to persist with what we've been doing for the first hour of the game. And it's nice to get players like Frimpong back, who is technically a right back, but still really dangerous. You know, Rio getting more minutes. I think Slot is growing in his trust for him, because every time he gets involved, he seems to have an impact. He seems to change something. Kiese obviously took his moments recently, and then you've got Alexander Isak to add to the picture. So Liverpool have got legs. They've got game changes. They've got players who can impact things to bring on late in the game. And I think when Slot signed Kirkez and Frimpong, and you could probably throw Florian Wirtz into this as well, he described them as weapons that you could maybe use in a tactical sense in a game like that, maybe where you can't quite break through. And you know, Liverpool were lucky to get over the line with a penalty in the end, but I think moving forward, I mean at what point do we suggest that it's not really a coincidence that Liverpool keep scoring late goals? I'm not the biggest fan of them, but if it keeps happening, it suggests you're doing something right. You know, you're probing, you've got those moments, you've got players running beyond and things like that, players who can change things. So there's something in there with that, but I go back to what I said earlier about just wanting to be a bit more sustainable with the way you're winning.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to have within your repertoire or something within your armoury, but I guess you don't want to corn it all the time. What I was going to ask you then, Judge, you mentioned Rio. Again, he comes on, he's positive, he's direct, he asks questions of the defenders. I just wonder how excited you are about what he could offer, and maybe looking ahead to that League Cup game in a couple of weeks. That feels like a match where he will get to start and showcase what he can do at Anfield from the off.
Yeah, well, he's so exciting. You know, he's really, really brave. He's not really intimidated by the fact it's Premier League football and things like that. And I think in this game, you gave Liverpool a bit of width as well. I think if you're coming up against Burnley like that and you're breaking down a block, you haven't got the space in a vertical sense, so you need to stretch the pitch wide, and that's what Frimpong gave on the right, and that's what Rio gave on the left. And he's going up against Kyle Walker, by the way, who I think has won the Premier League six times, and he's just running straight at him, plenty of step overs. And but on top of that as well, I think a lot of players have got step over to the game, a lot of players have got dribbling ability, but I always think they tend to lack the passing value as well. And there was a point where Rio finds Frimpong at the back stick and Frimpong gets a shot away. That's one of the best chances that Liverpool created in the whole game. So I'm looking forward to seeing him get more minutes, looking forward to him maturing, playing from the start a few more times, maybe, you know, in the domestic clubs and things like that. But, you know, what an exciting talent he is.
Yeah, that was one of the best chances in the game. Frimpong, heavy touch, doesn't take it straight away, and it kind of doesn't have enough power, and it's kind of side-footed in. Kim, back to you just on the options for the manager. I just wonder how you see him rotating his squad now in these weeks to come, because I think one of his reflections last year on things he would have done differently was the fact he thought maybe he would have used his squad a little bit more in the Champions League group stage, league stage. Do you expect him to rotate a little bit more now in these matches coming up in September, October, November?
We've lost it.
Well, either Kim is really, really intently listening to my question there, weighing up her response, or the line is frozen. We'll stop that just a second. Come back to Kim in a minute. You keep thinking. Let's go back to Turf War and hear from someone in the Liverpool camp now. Rob is with the skipper, Virgil van Dijk.
Well, Virgil, would you say, in a way, you could describe that as a stuff of champions? Yet again, another late goal to get you all 3 points today.
Yeah, I think we tried absolutely everything today against a very low block. But fair play to Burnley; they defended well. They kept running, fighting, and we had to find a way. And I think, we tried everything in the. Obviously, we managed to get the well-deserved penalty and win. So, yeah.
Is it a case where you ever start to think, oh, it's not going to be our day, or because you've seen it so many times before, there is always that belief that at some point you'll find something?
Well, I think if you look at our body language, I think we kept pushing. We kept motivating each other. We didn't get frustrated. So, obviously, it could be easily a draw and we take the point. But because we kept pushing, we kept going. That obviously helps getting us, you know, the penalty and towards the end. And I'm very pleased with the performance overall, defensively, offensively. And now we recover and be ready for the Champions League.
It's a reflection, I guess, of just how difficult it is to have success in this league. That four games, four wins, but in every single one of them, you've had to find a winning goal in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, but obviously that shows the mentality. Obviously, no one wants to find a way only in the last 10 minutes. But obviously, it's about repeating the right patterns, keep going, and create chances. And there were not many clear-cut chances, but obviously we didn't give anything away either, so you have to keep going and keep the belief, and I think we just did that.
Saw you welcoming him earlier in the week, but Alexander Isak maybe only had the smallest chance to see him in training, but what have you made so far?
Very good.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, no, listen, he's going to be very important for the football club. Obviously he's a fantastic player, and he has to realize that this is another step up. There's more things to be asked from him on and off the pitch, but I'm not worried whatsoever. He's going to do pretty well, like the other new boys as well, and it's for him now time to get as fit as possible, as quickly as possible, and be important with goals, with link-up play, like Hugo is already as well, and it's good to have competition. And we have to push each other to be successful. And I'm confident that will be the case.
And the good news is it's part of a Liverpool double today, which you can tell us more about.
Yeah, definitely. I run in and I found out that the boys did us proud at my own youth tournament in Holland. The Liverpool boys under 13 won my tournament. I think they had an amazing time. I think it was almost a sellout in the stadium from what I've heard. And everyone had a good time. I think the whole day and the players had a fantastic experience, all of the team. So I was really, really pleased with that. I watched the games this morning on the way to Burnley. Watched it yesterday. Unfortunately, obviously, I couldn't be there because I had some duties today I had to do. But no, I'm very pleased that everything went well. And I could say so many things. And I'm just buzzing about that because it's been obviously something that's very close to my heart. And yeah, I could keep talking about it. I keep that smile as well. That's right. I don't know what it is, but amazing, amazing day overall with everything that that happened.
A good day all round. We'll let you get out of the rain. Thank you, Virgil.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just pick up on some of the things that Virgil spoke about, Phil. One of the first things he said, he sort of, you know, credit to Burnley for the way they went about doing what they did to him. Sometimes, I think Rob alluded to it as well, you have to kind of say, look, they had a game plan. They executed it well, and it almost came off.
If you're a football romantic, a football purist, you wouldn't have liked what the way they approach the game. But you've got to be a realist. You've got to realise that the league champions are coming to town with world-class players and they are going to dominate the game and they're going to try and hurt you on your own turf. So how do you go about nullifying that threat? And they've done it diligently and it almost paid off. And it's one mistake which no one expected, certainly not Scott. That's undone them. But yeah, it's not the prettiest. The term "park the bus" has been thrown around for many, many seasons now. They've done that. They tried to hit us on the counter. When they did, we had the answers. The 1v1s with Virgil, the 1v1s with Ibu, they snuffed them out. So yeah, we nullified them offensively and struggled to break them down, and eventually we got that stroke of luck.
From a Burnley point of view, they can also turn around and say, well, when we came up last time, we tried to play tippy-tappy football and got taken apart week in, week out. People criticise us for that. So people can't now criticise them for doing the opposite of that and be more pragmatic.
I think Scott Parker will be disappointed in his team, not how they defended, but how they broke, when they broke Liverpool down. They didn't get enough men forward. They were frightened of it then. OK, we've won the ball, let's go get forward. No, hang on, they might come back at us. I think he'll want his players in them situations they did against Man United last week. When we do win the ball back, we do break, because it's the only time we can do it. We'll catch them out somewhere along the line. But they didn't do it today. And at times, second half especially, they just kicked it back to Liverpool time after time after time and brought pressure on themselves.
They did break pretty well in the game at Old Trafford earlier when they lost, obviously, narrowly last time out. They've already won at home once. They held their own to a point. They held themselves in the game today, not held their own. Encouraging start to life in the Premier League. They give themselves an indication that they can pick up points in this division.
The looking at the manager and his team, he'll be delighted that he now has a group of lads that he thinks will do the job I want them to do, which is the defensive side of things, especially against the big boys, Liverpool, Man United. You'll go to Tottenham, Arsenal. He'll play the same way against them. He has to look at how I beat Leeds, how I beat on top of the teams at the bottom now, West Ham. How do I beat them? How do I beat Wolves? So they can get enough points to keep themselves up. But I think Parker will be delighted at how his last two big games have gone. Man United, Liverpool, he's nearly held both to a draw, and he's got unfortunate.
I don't know if video link-up issues have been resolved as of yet. I don't know if Kim is waiting to speak to us yet again. Just Josh. Oh, well, Kim, we thank her for her contribution. But Josh, it means more time for you, my friend. I just wonder, just on that idea, I guess, you know, we sometimes get in a situation where we get too bogged down in how we play and we lose sight of the fact that we've won again and it's four wins out of four. Sometimes you have to find your way into a season. You go back to the title-winning season under Jürgen. At the start of that season, there were games like Forest away, 1-0, sort of scrappy kind of win, Genie scores and things like that, where you're maybe not at the prettiest, but if you get the results, it gives you a platform to find your stride a little bit later in the campaign.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people talk about, you know, it's the sign of champions when you play poorly and find a way to get over the line. Liverpool have done that quite a few times now. I do think I've got a bit of a... I think there's mitigating circumstances as well as to why Liverpool have been a bit weird so far this season. Like, you know, in Bournemouth we go 2-0. As I said earlier, Echetike comes off, we lose our threat. You know, I think the Newcastle game, there's a lot of circus around that because of the whole Isak thing. And in this game, Burnley did just turn up with a anti-football park the bus approach, really. And it was really well executed. They were, you know, super organised, very difficult to break down, justified in their approach, considering it nearly got them a point. I did think today would be the day where Liverpool show us what they're capable of doing, but maybe because of that we can give them a pass again. But I think they've used up all the passes so far, and I think moving forward, I think we've got Everton next, haven't we? So maybe that'll be the game where we realise what we're capable of.
It's sometimes we often say in these situations, but sometimes you feel like a team needs a game where it kind of falls into place. You score a few goals, you play some good football, the whole place is kind of energised, and then you kind of carry on from there. Not necessarily every week, but most weeks. So you're kind of sort of waiting for that moment to potentially happen, and maybe a Merseyside derby and the thrust of it all could very well be it. Or it could be a midweek Champions League.
I think we're waiting for the potential of world-class players to perform, for it to click. Yeah, you're right. The real flip side is we do what we've done today 34 more times. We're champions, right? So you can look at it that way. We don't want it though. yeah, it's frustrating because we've got the good players and it's not gelling, and then we've got to think, hang on, we've got to throw Isak in. Do we give him time to hit the, or does he hit the ground running? You know, it's like we've got so much potential and we've got so much expectation around this good team, reigning champions. There should be confidence flooding through every vein in every player in that squad. But we just seem to be off it. And I'm trying to find an excuse. I've even thrown in, oh, because I know Scott, maybe he kept the grass a little bit longer so we couldn't be slick. That's how meticulous he is in detail. That was something that we done, managers used to do in our day. Is thrown back there to, because we weren't passing the ball sharp enough, and we know that we can, and that's just not mental fatigue, because you couldn't have had all 11 players all mentally tired at the same time against Burnley. So there was something awry there. Whether it was attitude, whether it is, do we have one eye on Champions League next week? We come to Burnley, we should turn them over comfortably. Is it too easy? I.e., we should have turned Bournemouth over, although Bournemouth are a good team at home. We should have turned them over easily at Anfield. That was a struggle because Bournemouth had the spells and Semenya was brilliant. And we made that a little bit, even though the scoreline doesn't suggest it, we made it more uncomfortable than it should have been. So is it an attitude thing? Was today fatigue?
I couldn't say that.
I think it's
an attitude, that's for sure. I think they always are positive and they want to go and win games.
Yeah, but what I mean is that overconfidence. Is that a case of, we're going to Burnley, we're going to a smaller stadium, it's not a glamour tie. Yeah, we can just turn up and if we do 60%, we should get the job done. But you can't do that in the Premier League, and it almost bit us in the backside.
That could be the case as well if we're talking about slow passing. We'll break them down. Yeah. It'll come. We'll do it. And then you get to 5 minutes from the end and you still haven't done it. And you start panicking a lot, really. But they did it.
Well, I suppose the argument is, well, you can say we've done it four times now.
Yeah. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. But again, it's very easy to fall into a trap of being all kind of doom and gloomish, which is weird considering top of the table, 100% record. Mm. You kind of almost need to look at it and take a step back and say, you know what, we've not played badly in the first four games. But I think it's probably just the compliment of the fact we know how much there is to come from this group when they really do click. And there's that potential to unlock further down the line.
Yeah. We've been spoiled, especially last season. They walked the league last season, no problems whatsoever. And now we expect them to just turn up and then go out and play the same football they did in many games. Sometimes last season, some of the games, when they put passes together, movements, from the scored some of the best goals I've seen in football. The amount of movement and the quickness of the passing, that hasn't got to that level yet this season. But I'm very, very sure it will get to that level because they still have the players there.
Yeah, there were a few nice moments today. We've seen the little like flicks around the corner that Wirtz likes to do. We've seen Ekitike, the quick feet in the box, they're going to link up. There were moments where you think, well, that's going to be good. Once they get up to speed with each other, that's going to be pretty tasty.
Absolutely right. And, you know, as I said, like Wirtz has a special relationship with Frimpong. You know, when he gets into that final third, they've got these triangles that they play together, you know. And I also think with Wirtz, we've nowhere near seen the best of him. And I think he's a very high operator. And I mean, football intelligence. And sometimes I think even his flicks are a step ahead of some of the other players that are around him. And I think it's not just him getting up to speed. I think other players have to get used to him. I was saying to Ronnie when he used to play with Rushy or Kenny in the early days, you know, when he learned how they played and he was feeding balls into them, there'd be a goal at the end of it, you know what I mean? And that's for other players, the established players, to get used to the new one. So yeah, there's so much potential in this side. It is exciting. It's, as you said, it's not doom and gloom at all. It's all right, lads. We'll give you a little bit of time, but hurry up and get click into gear, please.
So much potential to unlock. The man to unlock it, of course, is Arne Slot. Let's hear from him now. The Reds boss is with Rob.
Well, Arne, it's becoming a bit of a habit, late goals this season. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing or a bit of both.
As long as it's the winner, it's a good thing. But yeah, of course, we would like us to see finishing game off earlier. But with Bournemouth that are now on 9 points, with Newcastle, which is a very difficult team to face away from home, but also at home, and Arsenal, and now Burnley side that defended with 11 players inside their box. Yeah, I was hoping for more today in terms of a better game, a more open game, maybe scoring one or two goals more. But realistically, we would almost have to be happy with us scoring one goal.
Is it difficult, and just how difficult is it when a team are so compact as they were? Because there was never a Burnley player not further away, about 5 yards from another Burnley player. How tough is that to try and find a way through?
It depends if they do the same, but then higher up on the pitch, then there's space in behind. But now there wasn't space in behind. There are a few ways you can score a goal. You can score from open play, but with 11 players in the box, it's not so easy to score from open play. Then you can score from a transition moment, which was not possible today because they didn't try once to bring the ball out from the back or play the ball over the ground. So it was every time a goalkeeper long, we picked up the ball and we started to attack again. But then they dropped all the way inside their 18-yard box. And the third way to score a goal is a set piece. And we had a lot of them, but unlike last week, we couldn't score from a set piece. And then the only thing that's left is open play against a team that is in a low block. And that's why we brought so many attackers in, because normally maybe this 6 or 7 is a bit too much. But yeah, if you only have to defend their 18-yard box, then it's maybe possible to play with 7 or 8 attackers.
And also, I guess, the flexibility of the players that you've brought on, that you can bring on a player who can play in 2 different positions during the match, and you can move players in different parts of the pitch, which can be, I guess, a bonus.
No, definitely. But like I said, there was so little space that we entered the box more and more, by the way, the second half. So I think the adjustments we made at halftime helped us to be much better in the second half than the first half. But also take into account that in the first half they are much fitter than they are after 75 minutes with only us having the ball and moving the ball around. Then a team gets a little bit more tired, and I think the best thing you could see was their fullbacks that were in the first half or the first 60 or 70 minutes so tight on Mo and Cody, were getting more and more tired, where Mo and Cody got more and more space. And especially you could see this in the end with Rio, when he came in, he could almost dribble all the way into the 6-yard box. But then still there were 11 players, where he had this unbelievable ball, by the way, to Jeremy, which didn't lead to a goal. But yeah, that's what we had to face today, and I'm hoping next time we will do a little bit better. But everybody needs to understand it's not easy to play against a team like this.
Just finally, quickly, you've spoken about the luxury of being able to introduce forward players. The one who wasn't here today, Alex, when do you think you might be able to use him in a game?
Soon. He will be used this week. We thought the best for him to build him up, to give him a good base, is for him to have a proper week of training session with us like he had it in Sweden. And that is also what you do in pre-season. You give him a proper week, and in the end of the week you play him 45 minutes. Never in pre-season. After a week you play a player 3 times a week. If you do this, you are 99.9% sure that a player gets injured. So everybody, every fan, including Alex himself and me, we have to understand that he just started his pre-season. And that's a bit tricky if you play 3 times a week, but the fans will see him this week. I can guarantee that if he stays fit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy birthday for Wednesday. Yeah, pretty honest assessment from the manager, and quick to highlight the problems when a team drops so deep, there's so little space to operate, and that's what made it so challenging today. Alex Isak, he says, we'll play this week. Next up for the Reds is Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. Josh, I'll bring you back in one final time. What do you want to see from the team and the manager in terms of how they approach using the squad for these games in this Champions League phase?
Well, it felt like last season Slot had a core of about maybe 13 players at a push, really, that he truly trusted. We end up finishing top of the Champions League table, and it didn't ultimately benefit us, really. We ended up going out relatively early against PSG. I like to think this season we've got rid of maybe a few more second and third string players and sacrificed a bit of that depth to get in a few more players who could be realistically starters without the level dropping off. So I think now maybe he's got something like 15, 16 players that he would trust, and I would just ultimately like him to use them, you know, get to a point where everyone's peaking at the back end of the season. I think last term we had a week where we faced, I think it might have been PSG, Newcastle in the Carabao Cup, and maybe Aston Villa away or something like that. And by the end of it, I think we got through the week, but by the end of it, we were a little bit crippled. There were players who were carrying knocks. I don't think we had the best results. And Slot's referred to that week a few times now. So I think the idea would be, moving forward, don't have a week like that where you basically use up you know, 100% of Alexis McAllister to the extent that he's still carrying Sutton now. So, yeah, just use your players. Liverpool have got a great squad there. So, yeah, maximise it.
Maximise the squad. And, of course, as you've touched on, we learned that finishing top of the league table doesn't necessarily do you any favours. It's Atletico who we're up against. We know Diego Simeone very well from past encounters. We know he will try every which way to get some advantage in a game. But a team that's in a little bit of transition, they only got the first win of the season this week, and there's an adaptation, and there's some players in that squad who are getting on a bit, who've been there for a long, long time.
Some good players that are getting on, but they can still play. It's a big one. It's a hard one. Simeone, they're always difficult, and they're always going to be on top of you, and they're always going to fight for 90 minutes. But like Josh said, and you said, finishing top 10 didn't do as much good last year, did it? Because we met a lot of big teams after that.
He's the ultimate disruptor, and he's Simeone. As you said, they've still got Alvarez, they've still got Griezmann. These guys are threats around the box, aren't they? So, you know, they have got a goal-scoring threat. But, yeah, I think if you're going to play them at Anfield and you want a performance, and we're going to see Alexander Isak, I mean, yeah, what a time to play him.
Yeah, Alvarez feels like the big danger. He did go off at half-time in the win against Villarreal this weekend. I think ultimately, though, Phil, isn't it a case of you want to try and get wins in the first couple of games in your Champions League. I mean, it settles everyone down. It eases some of the pressure. If you don't win for the first couple of games, it sort of racks up the anxiety and the stress around everyone.
Well, absolutely. Look at a team like Man City that struggled last year for the last sort of game. They finished sort of the bottom half of that league, didn't they? I like the format. I must say that. I thought it worked. There was a lot of people scratching their heads, but I thought it worked. And for us to top it was an added bonus. But, if we can do our business early on in that, then that's when the squad rotation comes into play and we can get those minutes into the legs of the fringe players.
The game on Wednesday, you might see a bit more of the Liverpool players being able to play football, because they will not sit on the edge of the box, Atletico, and let you come at them. They will play, they will break, and they'll be hard to beat. But we might see a different Liverpool.
Next up for the Reds is that opening Champions League encounter. Join us from Wednesday's Anfield clash with Atletico Madrid in our opening clash of this year's Champions League campaign. Until then, if you haven't already, then please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. That'll make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.